So I'd wash my hands, I'd introduce myself to the patient and the parent and confirm their identity. I'd ask for permission to undertake the examination after explaining what it entails and expose the patient appropriately for this exam. It's a cardiovascular exam, so I'd ideally have them from waist upwards. And I think we can go ahead and do it straight away because it's a three-year-old child. I'd start off by taking a look around the room to see if the patient's brought anything with them, any oxygen or medications or any aids.
No.
Okay. I'd have a closer look at the child. Do they look well or unwell?
They look well.
Is there any evidence of cyanosis or increased work of breathing?
No.
Okay. And then I'd have a ask for a full set of observations, if that's okay, paying a particular attention to the saturations and the blood pressure.
They're all within normal limits.
Okay. I would plot the height, weight, and head circumference of the child on a growth or appropriate chart. Do they look well-grown for their size? For their age, sorry?
Yes, they look well-grown.
Okay. Just looking at them, is there any evidence of any dysmorphic features? So looking at the placement of their eyes, their ears, their hairline?
No, nothing.
So no dysmorphism, yeah?
No dysmorphism.
Fine. I'd now take a systematic approach to examining them. So I'd have a look at their hands. I'd look for any signs of clubbing. So loss of the nail bed angle and loss of Shamrot's window.
No, there's no evidence.
Okay. Is there any signs of any splinter hemorrhages, Osler's nodes, or Janeway lesions?
How would you look for those?
So splinter hemorrhages are on the nails, and Osler's nodes and Janeway lesions are lumps on the dorsum of the hand. Sorry, the palmar aspect of the hand.
Nothing.
Okay, perfect. Is there any signs of pallor?
No pallor.
And is the patient warm to touch?
Patient is warm to touch.
Okay. So I would then feel their radial and brachial pulse for rate, rhythm, volume, and character on both sides.
Okay. It's normal.
Okay. And then I would move on to, just before I forget, assess their femoral pulses and check for any radiofemoral delay as well.
There is no radiofemoral delay, and their femoral pulses are bilaterally present.
Perfect. What's the blood pressure?
It's normal for a three-year-old child.
Normal for a three-year-old child. Perfect. And so I'd then move on to examine the face. So is there any signs of any Kaiser Fleischer rings, any xanthomata, any pallor pulling down the child's eyelids?
No.
Okay. Any facial plethora at all?
No, nothing.
And having a look inside the mouth, is there any evidence of any cyanosis or a poor dentition?
No.
High arch palate?
No high arch palate.
Okay. And having a look at the neck, so the child's a bit young, so I wouldn't assess for JVP, but the carotid pulses, I'd feel them in turn. Are they good volume and character on both sides?
Good volume, good character.
Perfect. I then expose the patient, so I notice a median sternotomy scar. It looks well healed. Is there anything to find on the back or the sides in terms of scars?
No other scars are present.
No other scar.
Although there is one tiny scar to the left of the median sternotomy, just a horizontal 2 centimeter scar.
2 centimeter scar. Okay, perfect. I would then feel for the apex beat. I'd expect to find it in the midclavicular line on the left-hand side in the fourth or fifth intercostal space, but I would feel on both sides to make sure I'm not missing a dextrocardia.
It's present.
I would then feel for any heaves using the heel of my hand on the lower left sternal edge and on the apex beat. No heaves. And is there any displacement of the apex?
No.
Okay. I would then feel for thrills in the 4 valvular areas. So the upper right and left sternal edges, lower left sternal edge, and the apex.
No thrills.
No thrills. I would then listen to the heart sounds over all 4 areas, checking for heart sounds 1 and 2, any additional murmurs, any additional sounds?
The heart sounds are normal. Okay. You hear a murmur in the left upper sternal edge.
Left upper sternal edge, okay. And is it a pansystolic murmur? So I time it, obviously, with the pulse, so the brachial pulse.
It's an ejection systolic.
Ejection systolic murmur. And does it radiate anywhere? So I'd listen to the carotids, I'd listen to the back, and I'd listen to the axilla as well.
It's not radiating anywhere.
So it's non-radiating. Okay. And what grade is it? So it's not associated with a thrill, so it's probably grade 3 or less?
It's a grade 2 murmur.
Grade 2 murmur. Okay. I would then listen to the bases of both lungs for any pulmonary edema. Yep,
No pulmonary edema.
I would then get the child to lie flat and feel for any hepatosplenomegaly.
No hepatosplenomegaly.
And then I would check for peripheral edema as well. Pedal edema.
No pedal edema.
Okay. So to complete my examination, I just like to summarize if that's okay. So I examined a 3-year-old who presents to outpatient clinic.
Yeah.
Outpatient clinic with a median sternotomy scar suggestive of a previous invasive cardiac surgery. He is well with no signs of any heart failure, but does have an ejection systolic murmur that is less than grade 3 in the left upper sternal edge, and it's not radiating anywhere. My differentials for this child...
So that's 6 minutes.
Okay, so my differentials for this child include a pulmonary stenosis, but I would expect it to radiate to the back, a tetralogy of Fallot that's been corrected, but again, I would typically expect some radiation to the back with the murmur of this, and then I would also consider an ASD as well that has been corrected.
Okay, and... what other conditions are associated? Do you know of any syndromes that may be associated with pulmonary stenosis?
Yes, so Noonan syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a supravalvular pulmonary stenosis with allelgials.
Yes.
That's about it.
Okay, that's fine. So when would you consider operating on a child with tetralogy of Fallot?
So essentially, if there's any evidence of critical pulmonary stenosis, so if there's any evidence of cyanosis and the child's not adequately oxygenating, I would consider that. If the VSD is significantly large to cause Eisenmenger syndrome, if there's any evidence of heart failure associated with the condition, which this child doesn't have now but could have had in the past, and if there's any evidence of pulmonary hypertension, which probably wouldn't be the case because there's pulmonary stenosis, but yeah.
Yes. And what are the 4 associations of tetralogy of Fallot?
So you get an overriding aorta, you get a VSD, you get right atrial hypertrophy, and pulmonary stenosis.
Yes. So if you, what investigations would you do for a child who presents with tetralogy of Fallot?
So I would, at baseline by the bedside, do a full limb BP. I would do a pre and postductal SATs just to exclude any other cardiac pathology that would result in an abnormality in that. I would do a baseline ECG, which would give me an indication of if there's any hypertrophy of the ventricles or the atria. I do a chest x-ray to ascertain the size of the cardiac shadow and ultimately do an echo. This would obviously all be under the guidance, if I found anything, of a pediatric cardiologist. And I'd make the appropriate referrals after doing those baseline tests.